Amen. Well, tonight I want to talk about living distraction-free. Living distraction-free. And obviously, if you're not, don't have your head in the sand, there's a lot of weird stuff going on, right? You know, we've got violence all around us. We got people, there's hatred towards Jesus in the church. There is, you know, many people, they live in a world of there's no absolutes, right? There's no right or wrong. It's just kind of do what you want to. And I remember at some point during the Old Testament, there was a time period when it says everyone did as they will. Well, that is the theme for the Satanic Bible. That is, do anything you want. And so again, you ever notice too, just even the last few weeks, it just seems like even the last month, people are becoming more and more divided over more things. You ever notice that? It's like kind of like around election time, we're all kind of together, and then it seems like once Charlie Kirk, you know, after his assassination, then it's like things, people got even more divided, and then people talking about that, and then we're getting even more division, and more division, and more division, and the thing is, we can, there's so many distractions. We're going to get into some scripture tonight, but the pressure of the world, it can cause us to turn away from the truth, right? And it, sometimes it seems like, you know, there's just everything so overwhelming, and how can we change things, and how can we do things, and how can things ever turn around? And that's what the devil always wants you to feel like. It's just impossible, right? It's just, there's nothing I can do, and it's just so overwhelming and so overwhelming that nothing will ever change. And that's not true at all, because once we still have breath in our lungs and we still have the Lord on our side, all things are possible, what? To those who believe. We see over and over again people in the Bible that just one person changed history. Thank you, Noah, for being obedient. Amen. Right? Thank you, Jesus, for being obedient, the ultimate. But just, you know, we think, well, what can I do? One person can make a difference. Well, somebody like Charlie Kirk, one person can make a difference, right? Yeah. I mean, we can all make a difference in this world to change things. And so Luke, let's look at Luke chapter 4, verse 3. And I know we've all read this before. We're going to go off of some other scriptures here, but I want to dissect this a little bit. This is Jesus talking about the soil types, okay? The seed, which is the word of God. The soil types is, again, there's people's hearts, how they're responding to the word of God. And New Living Translation, verse 3 says, listen, a farmer went out to plant some seed. As he scattered it across his field, some of the seed fell on the footpath, and the birds came and ate it. Other seed fell on the shallow soil with underlying rock, and then the seed sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plant soon wilted under the hot sun. Luke chapter 4, verse 3. Luke 4, 3.
That's not right.
Am I serious?
No, we got the wrong reference.
Oh, wait. Let me get here. Let me get my Bible out. Oh, Mark 4, I'm sorry. It's Mark 4. I was in other scriptures on.
Talking about the wilderness and the devil over here.
Mark chapter 4, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Had other Luke scriptures in here, so I had Luke on the brain. Sorry, Mark chapter 4, verse 3. There we go.
Okay.
And so, Jesus is going through here, and he's talking about, and then verse 6, and then it was good. Verse 5. And other seed fell on the soil, on the shallow soil, with underlying rock, and the seed sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. But verse 6. But the plant soon wilted under the hot sun, and since it didn't have deep roots, it died. Other seed fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants, so they produced no grain. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they sprouted, grew, and produced a crop of some 30, 60, and even 100 times as that had been planted. He then says, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Verse 10, later, when Jesus was alone with the 12 disciples and with the others who were gathered around, they asked him what the parable meant. And he replied, you are permitted to understand the secret of the kingdom of God, but I use parables for everything that I say to outsiders so that the scriptures might be fulfilled. When they see what I do, they will learn nothing. When they hear what I say, they will not understand. Otherwise, they will turn to me and be forgiven. He's giving a little precursor there what's coming. Verse 13. And Jesus said to them, if you can't understand the meaning of this parable, how can you understand other parables? Verse 14, he gets into the describing what happened there. Verse 14, the farmer plants seed by taking God's word to others. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message, here we go, only to have Satan come at once and take it away. So the seed is produced, they hear it, and then Satan comes along and takes it away. We can just simply say there's distraction, right? Every person here that we're going to read, they're dealing with distraction, right? And that's what the devil has to do with, again, distraction. I remember Rick Renner I was listening to Rick Renner, and he had a really good point too. He's talking about people ask if people said things like, well, ask him, you know, I got these circumstances, and is it just circumstances, or is it demonic attack? And he's like, it could be both, right? We're just going through things, and there can be an attack. And sometimes, again, I always like to say we do dumb things, right? I mean, we don't, you know, sometimes I look at people, and I'm like, well, the devil really doesn't have to do anything because you're kind of destroying yourself in the process here. You ever been around those people before? And sometimes, especially lately, I'm just getting more and more embarrassed with Christians. Sometimes you just, like, you listen to people and they say weird things and they do weird things and you're like, I want to crawl in a hole and not associate with those people and tell people that's not what Christianity is all about, right? And it's this misconception. But when we stand for righteousness over time, it will attract demonic entities, right? And that's why we need to stand up and move forward and shut the enemy down. So again, we're seeing this. The devil comes in and steals the word of God, right? We'll get more into that in a minute. Verse 16, the seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. Man, you know how many services I've been in before over the years? And, you know, I'll be preaching something, or I'll be in a meeting with somebody, you know, been in Brother Hagin and things. And everybody's like, yeah! And then you leave, and then a week later, oh boy, you know, because you get pumped up, you know, the Holy Spirit's there, everything feels great. And it's a, verse 17, but since they don't have, here we go, deep roots, right? Shallow. They don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word, right? So again, distraction. You know, you have a great experience, you get blessed, something goes wrong. I want to say this. This is very important. Very important, because very few people outside of these walls and those other people that do, you know, engage us, but it's very important to know. Too many Christians are basing their experiences, tests or trials, and they're taking that as God's will. Okay? I mean, if we're going to rank everything that if there's anything bad that happens to you based on whether you're in God's will or not, Jesus was completely out of God's will, right? The Apostle Paul was absolutely out of control, out of God's will. We just read Romans there, where he says, "Long I was beaten 39 times, save one, and I was left for dead." I mean, all these things. He went through all of these things. It does not mean that you are not in the will of God when you face persecution, right? And what happens is we see people that do not base their faith off of the word of God. They base it off of what happens to me, what happened to grandma, what happened to my uncle, what happened to this person or that person. And they're not basing their faith off of the Bible, right? Because here's the thing. When you follow the word, your experience will catch up with the word at some point. But yeah, there may be some things along there. But what happens is this, bad things happen and then we give up, right? Now, there's some things in life that it's like, you know, you're not good at, you need to give up, right? Like with me, I was not going to be in the NBA. All right, they're just, I can't now. I'm not Michael Jordan. They're just some things I'm just like, yep, that's not me, right? I like to golf, but I am a bad golfer, okay? So I took it in college, and, you know, I'd have the, I'm golfing, and I'm supposed to go this way, and it would kind of do this trick, and then one of the guys that was in my golf class, when he'd shoot, it would go straight out that way, you know? So it was a disconnect there, right? I mean, I'm not, you know, of course, I haven't spent any time really working on golf, but there's some things, you know what, you just do chalk it up. You know what, I'm not gifted in that area, you know? I haven't opened a restaurant anytime soon, so yeah, you don't want to come to my place. I may be making deer meat and pheasant and all kinds of other stuff, and you probably won't like it, so who knows, maybe you will. But what we're talking about is the things and the persecution and the pressure comes along. Guess what? We're not going to get distracted. We're going to continue to focus on God moving forward, right? Just because somebody's house down the street can burn to the ground doesn't mean mine's going to burn to the ground, right? Just because everybody else is falling apart at the seams, it doesn't mean that me and my family, because the word says, as far as me and my family, we will serve the Lord, right? You decide which direction you're going to go. Don't let people and circumstances dictate what you're going to do, right? And the great thing is there's biblical principles in this. That's what business people do. That's what successful people do, right? When circumstances don't, you know, they don't go their way, they don't give up. No, they dig in even more. And that's where, you know, for us as believers, whatever we're doing in life, dig in more. Don't give up. Don't let circumstances come against you. And I will say this, again, baby Christians look to their experiences to determine God's will or character. I remember Adrian and I were, you know, we had gotten married. I got baptized in the Holy Spirit December of 1996. So this next month will be 29 years I am baptized in the Holy Spirit. Amen? Speak in tongues, shundai every day. Right? It's a great experience. I love it. I love studying about tongues. I just love it, right? Because I love the Holy Spirit. I love His ministry. I love His presence. I just love to be with Him. And so these are exciting times, right? They're just exciting things. Well, I remember in the early days, you know, I had never really, and Brother Hagin is so, it is so true. He says tongues is the gateway into the supernatural. And we see that, right? We see that Jesus in Luke chapter 4, redeem myself there. Luke chapter 4, Jesus is baptized with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes upon him. He's empowered to go out and to do miracles. First of all, he defeats the devil, right? Three times, he defeats the devil. He didn't do any supernatural things before that until he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He commanded his disciples and believers to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. That means the Holy Spirit come upon him or her after we're born again. Well, it's to do the work of the ministry. And so, it's an empowerment. But I want to look at Genesis chapter 37, verse 3. And you can go there if you want to. I'm just going to highlight a few things. I'm going to talk about Joseph here. And we're going to look at some people tonight, how much time we're going to have. Just talking about adversity and things coming against them and how they dealt with it and how they kept moving forward. And again, the encouraging thing is people in the Old Testament, they weren't born again. They didn't have Kenneth Hagin books. You know, they didn't have any of this stuff, right? I mean, the Bible wasn't even written in the time Joseph was around. So, you know, Moses hadn't shown up. We didn't even have the Pentateuch yet. Didn't even have the first five books of Genesis. I don't even know if Job was even written yet. But you know, Job's probably they think maybe the oldest book in the Bible. But they didn't have a lot of material back then. You know, it was a lot of faith stuff. It wasn't a lot of like, hey, hang in there, keep your faith, love God, keep moving forward. It's like the Ten Commandments hadn't even been given yet, right? We're not even to Exodus yet. So they just didn't have these things, but you're seeing these people have an innate instinct and a desire to follow God and to do those things. And they had faced very adverse situations. Joseph, in the third chapter, first of all, I'm going to kind of run through some things here really quick for time's sake. Genesis 37, verse 3, he had favor with Israel, his father. Verse 7, he had a dream, okay? The problem is he blabbed about his dream. So this is one of those things where, yes, you can do this, but the probably wisdom, because his dad was like, you don't need to be saying that. But then it says, but then he pondered those things, right? Like he's like, he heard it, but he's like, I'm gonna take note of this kid. So again, Joseph kind of talked about his dream, maybe not the wisest thing. Hey guys, you're all gonna bow down to me. Isn't that great? Yeah. When you're the kid that has the great coat and you know, you're babied and everything, it doesn't look very good, does it? So then we see there, verse 28, he's sold to the Ishmaelites. I always like the interesting, it's the Ishmaelites. Isn't that interesting? You know? And then in verse 36, he's sold to Potiphar. So here we go. He's sold into slavery. He's sold into slavery. Chapter 39, verse 2, and it says, the Lord was with him and prospered him. Okay? He's a slave, and God is prospering him. He's blessing him. Verse 3 and 4 of 39, Potiphar notices the favor on him. Right? See, we are, too many people are basing their basing whether they have favor, whether they're blessed and everything else on their circumstances. I remember one time we were in Oskaloosa, and I'm just saying this, you don't know how you're impacting people around you. I'm telling you right now. I believe people are you know, you just, I mean, Adrian and I were going to church in Oskaloosa. And this, I used to play in this bar. It was a restaurant slash bar. So half of it was like nice dining. And then after 9 o'clock, we cranked it up, baby. And the other side was a big bar. And anyway, but the guy that owned it, I didn't even know. Like I was there and I was a heathen back then. But Adrian and I got married, started going to church, got filled with the Spirit and everything. I don't remember talking to this guy. And all of a sudden, people came up to me and said, yeah, that guy that owned that, said, you've really just like, you know, really touched him and your life and stuff. And I'm like, I don't remember even talking to this guy, right? You know, you get those aha moments that, you know, so sometimes people are going to see things on you and you feel like you're a loser, you know, or you feel like you have nothing to give. And I guarantee you there's somebody, if you're walking with God, they're going to notice some things in you, right? They're going to notice you don't give up. They're going to notice some godly traits in you. They're going to impact people. And that's what we see here, Joseph. Joseph continued to walk with God, and it would have been easy for him. Because later we see there, well, let's just go here. Go down a little farther here. So he had all his favor. Verse 7 and 8, Potiphar's wife tempted him, and he rejected. Then in verse 20, he's thrown in prison. Verse 21, he had favor in prison, right? See, it doesn't matter where you're at in life sometimes. If God is on you, your favor is going to shine through and all the haters are going to hate, right? That's just it. They're going to hate and they're going to hate and they don't like you and it doesn't matter. Because again, they can't make things. God can open and close doors that no man can open and close. Later, verse 40, verse 23, he interpreted the dreams of the baker and butler and was forgotten. See, God is moving through him and he has got this word of wisdom, actually word of knowledge and wisdom, so he knew what was going on, but he also had wisdom, the word of wisdom there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, one of the gifts of the Spirit, in operation. And he had prophesied and gave them a word. And then it came to pass, but they forgot about him. So he's hanging out in prison for 2 more years. Isn't that great? Yeah. God, where are you? What's going on, right? I've never felt like that before. It was just me. Like, I just feel like I'm just spinning wheels sometimes and things may not be happening the way you want to. 2 years later, chapter 41, in verse 25, Joseph interprets Pharaoh's dream and receives favor, right? And then away we go. And then what does Joseph do? He is in his destiny. He is in that. And Joseph is a gifted businessman, administrator, saves his people. I mean, it's just incredible. God used him, right? The modern Christian would have given up at the first mishap, right? Even before, you know, ripping the coat off. We're not even getting to thrown into the pit. Yes, I quit. This is awful. Right? And anybody anymore, it's just, you tell them anything and I'm just offended. I don't like that. I don't like what he has to say. Walking with the Lord will have its ups and downs, and this has no bearing on God's character or his faithfulness. Absolutely no bearing on God's character or his faithfulness. And we're basing everything off of, we're going to read more scriptures here in a minute. I'm going to get deeper. But it has nothing to do with God's character or his willingness. God loved Joseph in the pit just as much as when he was number two under Pharaoh. Joseph was the same. He sees you the same here today and what you're going to do. It's all the same to him. And he wants us to obey him and to follow those things out. I mean, it's kind of like us, you know. Again, it comes back to that parenting, you know. When you got little kids, when your kid's little and they can't do anything, you love them and you're like, they're absolutely unproductive, expensive little juice bags. I mean, they just like, you know, stuff's coming out everywhere and it's like, whoa, what's going on here? But you still love them, right? And they're in development. They're in development. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Now, I'm sure this one's right, okay? I'm positive. Ephesians chapter 6. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. There are things influencing people and situations sometimes, again, that are trying to come against you. Now, I was in a church before, and everything's the devil. You know, every little thing going on, well, your car breaks down. Well, that's just the devil. No, you got a piece of crap car. And the alternator went out, right? That has nothing to do with the devil. It just means, you know, you got 900,000 miles on your car and something's going to break at some point, right? I mean, let's just get real here. We live in this world, right? But, you know, we're not seeing demons in our Cheerios or anything. But the point is, there are spiritual things in play moving forward. Again, truth is stranger than fiction, but there is an unseen realm that is working behind the scenes. And it is a spiritual battle that we're in. And when things don't go your way, you feel pressure. And that's what the devil has. He has distractions and pressure. Distractions and pressure. Distractions and pressure. That's what he uses. Verse 18, and the seed there back in Mark, the seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life. How many people are crowded out with the worries of this life, right? The lure of wealth and the desire for other things, so no fruit is produced. Again, distraction, right? Like a lot of people, they want to judge God's ability on how much control he has, right? Based on the news. Always, you know, people before, I remember I did funerals, you know, I've done funerals in the past, things like that. People come up and like, well, you know, why did God let him die? I'm like, well, you know, probably they smoked cigarettes and drank beer, you know, like a fish. I mean, you know, hello. People are like, why are there so many bad things in this world going on? Well, there's 9 billion people with their own will, right? Hello. And the enemy is working through each one of them. Well, I just don't understand that. Well, I'm sorry, you know. We got all these people that have their own will on this earth. But you know what? God's a good God. He's going to help us out. Amen. Verse 20. And the seed that fell on good soil represents those who hear and accept God's word and produce a harvest 30, 60, and even 100 times that was planted. Now, it's interesting here. There's so many people that refuse to believe the word of God, and it does produce something in your life, right? They're maybe focused on what other people write or watching the news, but people who refuse distractions and believe God's word will produce a spiritual harvest. You know, one of the interesting things was Gary Crowell used to live in Ottumwa. We're from Ottumwa. Right up the road is Mount Pleasant. And Mount Pleasant is the loony bin, right? No, that's Maharishi International. Yeah, Mount Pleasant is right next to Fairfield, remember? And it is the mental health, the big mental health issue, place here in Iowa, one of the big ones, right? And so it's so convenient because right next to, like Adrian said, in Fairfield, Iowa, is Maharishi International. Those are what we used to call them, the floaters. Those are the ones that flap and they levitate, right? Mm-hmm. Which is demonic, by the way. It's satanic. And one of their things is, and it's like Buddhism and a lot of these other, is become nothing. That means you clear your senses of any thought. What happens is the devil comes along and fills those thoughts. And then what happens is, then they get Mount Pleasant full of people that have opened up their mind to demonic stuff, right? So if we're not filling ourselves up with the Word of God, we're going to have something else in there too, right? That's why you got, you know, a lot of these people, they're involved in addictions and everything else too, because you're not putting something into you. You're putting the wrong thing into you. And I feel for those people. But it's going to impact you. But with the Word of God in you and you avoid distractions, we're guarding ourselves, right? So whatever things you meditate, the Bible says meditate day and night. Whatever things are good, pure, lovely, of a good report, what? Think on these things. I mean, I look at the news sometimes just to kind of, you know, get, how can I say, just maybe just some basic information. I don't even really read the, watch the news at all. We got people that we know, family members and stuff, and it's just like, I mean, they're just like hysterics. And I mean, there's all, you know, just everything's coming to an end, and they're just completely just beginning to go over the top. And it's like, wait a minute here. I'm not sitting here watching this stuff all day long. I mean, they got TVs on all day long, watching this stuff, just absorbed in this stuff. You got to get your mind right. And if we're going to be focused on the wrong things, then we're going to, again, our reality is going to be, what is reality? It's the Word of God. Everything is impacted by the spirit realm, and which is manifest later. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Am I boring you tonight? Are you all sleepy? Matthew 10, verse 14. And yes, this is the right chapter. So I'm getting me all scared now. Now it's like, now I'm second guessing myself. Is that right? Matthew chapter 10, verse 14. If any household or town refuses, he's given them, I love this scripture here. We're talking about this week. Jesus is sending off his disciples two by two. Off you go. You're going to heal people. You're going to cast out demons, all these good things. And then verse 14, if any household or town refuses to welcome you or listen to your message, shake its dust from your feet as you leave. I tell you the truth, the wicked cities of Sodom and Gomorrah will have it better off than such a town on the judgment day. Basically, they're going to have it a lot better than the people that you encounter if they reject you. Verse 16, look, I am sending you out as sheep among wolves. You know, I don't hear this preached too much, do you? No. All I hear is just send us them big fat checks and you're just going to get blessed, right? Or just, hey, we're going to send you, just send me $100 and we're going to send you this Israeli, you know, holy water that was dunked under the Jordan and it's just going to be, you know, magically delicious for you. It's just going to be fantastic, right? Well, I believe in prosperity, but sometimes there's gimmicks. You know, you don't hear about too many conventions, you know. It's always like, hey, how to double your business, how to make more money, how to do this. Let's have a convention about how to deal with persecution. We're going to sell lots of downloads on that one, aren't we? I can't wait for that. It's not real popular. But it's going to help you recognize the enemy moving forward. I believe it's going to be a blessing for you to see this. Number one, we're going to see again. I tell you the truth, verse 15, the wicked cities of Sodom and Gomorrah are going to have it way better than these cities. Verse 16, look, I am sending you out as sheep among wolves. So be as shrewd as snakes and harmless as doves, but beware, for you will be handed over to the courts and will be flogged with whips in the synagogues. Oh, Jesus, send me! How do I sign up for this? You know, the whips and the prison thing? Where do I sign up for that? That sounds like fun. You notice how he didn't say at the beginning when he called him, he said, follow me. He didn't say, oh, by the way, you're going to get beaten and you may end up in prison. And then, you know, one of you is going to be, you know, crucified upside down. But, you know, but come on, guys. You never notice that God doesn't tell you the end from the beginning? You will stand trial before governors and kings because you are my followers. But this will be your opportunity to tell the rulers and other unbelievers about me. When you are arrested, don't worry about how to respond or what you'll say. God will give you the right words at the right time. For it is not you who will be speaking. It will be the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Verse 21. A brother will betray his brother to death. A father will betray his own child. And children will rebel against their parents and cause them to be killed. Sound like about like right now, doesn't it? How many people have gotten divorced over the whole Republican-Democrat thing, you know? I mean, somebody voted for Trump or somebody voted for Kamala Harris, and then it's like, oh, you know, we're getting divorced. I'm saying if you got to that point, something went wrong in the communication process between point A and point B, right? You know? Something definitely went wrong. Verse 22, and all nations will hate you because you are my followers. Pastor Brent, this isn't very cheery. Move on to something fun. We're getting there. But anyone who endures, here we go. Anyone who endures until the end, right? How many churches are just saying, you say a prayer and you're going to have fire insurance. And you're done. And I've said this a thousand times over the years. When I was in church and denomination, it was, you got saved and it's all done. You got in and it's all over. Instead of saying, when you get born again, it's the beginning. But in most denominational churches, it is, you get born again and you're done. You're in the club and that's cool and we're done. Right? I just remember being in Africa and I got these Muslims kicking my door and trying to kill me. Right? So, you know, it's you're in a hostile area and they hate you and it's dark at night and they're trying to break into your door. Luckily there was like, you know, it's Africa, so everything's got bars on everything, you know. They couldn't get in. But they were following me, they were watching me. The other guys that I was with, the interpreter, they were over in the other huts, and I was over, or I don't know what you want to call it, the other one. So, you know, and then, I talked about this before, but, you know, we were going to Garsen, which is very hot. It's very over by Somalia. Very, very hostile. And we're like, hey, we're going to get there. But you know what? You know what the fruit was? We got people that were Baptist, Lutheran, I don't care what denomination they were, as long as they're going to turn to Jesus and do the right thing, follow the word. We had Baptist and Lutheran and Catholic and Methodist, and we had a Pentecostal. We had people who didn't know anything. When we left, they had two people raised from the dead. Right? One person was dead for 3 days. They went over laying hands on him and just like, well, this is what they said. And guess what? Popped right up. See, there's pressure when you're going to be doing something too, right? There's going to be pressure there to give up. You know, and the guards were, the military was like, do you want us to ride with you? We'll ride with you. I'm like, nah, we're okay. So it's really interesting to see when you read the scriptures and you experience things like that, it's like, oh, I get it. Because here it's like, you know, somebody makes fun of your shirt or something. You're like, oh, that's awful, terrible. You know, we have a meltdown. Like, I was persecuted today. They gave me a dirty look when they looked at my Jesus shirt. That's persecution. And I was like, But here we go. Here's great news. Everybody who endures until the end will be saved. That is us, isn't it? It's awesome. When you are persecuted in one town, flee to the next. I tell you the truth. The Son of Man will return before you have reached all the towns of Israel. So again, we're seeing sometimes, you know, we're being can I just say this? Christianity is not a self-help prosperity message. Yes, there's prosperity in the gospel. Yes, I believe in prosperity, all kinds of prosperity. But it is about taking up your cross. It's about putting on the armor of God in Ephesians and warring against the enemy. That's the biggest thing that the devil hates is somebody that has a backbone that's going to stand up, and the devil and the people of this world don't like the word no. I remember Derek Prince. I love Derek Prince. He's British, and he was in the British military in World War II. And he said, you know, it's funny how so many Christians, they think it's just going to be a safe thing, and it's just so wonderful, and it's going to be so easy. But he says, you know, when I enlisted in the British Army, we all knew that there was no guarantee that we were going to be safe. We enlisted knowing there was a chance that we could die. How many people are coming to Jesus and going, you know what? I don't care if I end it all. I don't care anything. If I die, I'm still going to follow Jesus, right? Because some people's idea of church, and I love it, you know, I enjoy those things, but it's like potlucks and fellowships. And it's like, we love that stuff, but that's not all Christianity is about. And there could be things tougher, more pressure coming down the road. But again, it's we see those people who, like the people that are wanting to, you know, even like the Charlie Kirks and the people coming in after Charlie Kirks and doing these things, it's like people are picking up the cross, they're picking up the mantle, and they're moving forward. And that's the people we need, right? We need those people who aren't going to be afraid. And unfortunately, there's too many preachers giving us the false Christian gospel. They preach a false gospel, focus on comfort, financial prosperity, and this false sense of security that does not exist. It does not exist. Nowhere in the Bible does it, you know, are we guaranteed anything, any, you know, to not offend somebody or anything. I mean, I could walk down the street and say hi, and somebody's going to get offended. I remember one time, you know, well, one time this lady got mad at me, and I opened up the door for her, and she was like, I can open the door for myself. I don't need a man to do that. And I just dropped the door on her face, like, okay. And walked off, trying to be nice to people, right? And they're offended. So it doesn't, again, it doesn't matter who it is. Somebody's going to be offended by something you say. So don't worry about it. Pick up the cross, run with Jesus, and endure until the end. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 through 4, we'll end here. Love this scripture. Well, we got one more after that. We're going to endure until the end. And the reason why we're not trying to get all the scary stuff and everything tonight, but what it means is this. All these things are going on TV, everything else too. Just get committed tonight and say, I am going to serve God, hell or high water, right? It doesn't matter who comes knocking on my door, you know, what crazy people say or what anything happens, it's like I'm still going to serve God, still going to pray, still going to love God. God is still faithful, and it doesn't matter with craziness, everything's going to fall apart around me. God is still God. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1, it says, therefore, since God in his mercy has given us this new way, we never give up. Amen. We reject all shameful deeds and underhanded methods. Hello, U.S. government. We don't try to trick anyone or distort the word of God, right? Yeah. Well, I believe the word, but. No, it is what it is. There's so many people offended by this. We tell the truth before God, and all who are honest know this. Verse 3, if the good news we preach is hidden behind a veil, it is hidden only from people who are perishing. Guess what? The people in the world who hate us, who don't agree with us, it is hidden from them. Right? So that's something we could just say, you know what? We love them, and these people, they just don't know. They just don't know. Satan, who is the god of this world, has what? Blinded the minds of those who don't, blinded the minds on CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, whatever, on the secular, it's all this propaganda that we're seeing. It's the world system. It is, we are blind, they are blinded, excuse me, they are blinded because they don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. See, they don't have the ability. And we're gonna look at the cure here in a moment. So we look at these people, we can get angry, we can get upset, but they don't have the ability to comprehend these things because, again, they're blinded. They're blinded by Satan, the god of this world. It doesn't mean he's God, it just means he's in control of the system. Now, Jesus defeated the devil, but these people don't know that. Even though we're redeemed and free and born again, those of us who are born again and set free, they're still under the bondage because they don't know it yet. That's why the gospel, the good news, has got to be preached to them, right? But it's not just saying words, but there's something else involved with this too. Let me go on here. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. John chapter 16, verse 8. I want to read something here as we're closing. So no matter what people say, no matter what people do, no matter what's going on around you, what kind of pressure, we're going to serve God. We're going to continue to move forth in faith. John chapter 16, verse 8. And this is, I love it. It says, when he comes, talking about the Holy Spirit, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. So all these people that talk about things, they always talk about, well, the Word and the Bible. I'm telling you what, the Word and the Spirit coming together will change people. If we're only using the Word and we don't rely on the Spirit, we're going to fall short. But the great thing is when the Word is spoken, I always like to say this, you know, people always put pressure on themselves. You know, like you're ministering to people with the street evangelism, or I'm, you know, talking to people about, excuse me, getting saved or baptized in the Holy Spirit and stuff like that. You know, I have the attitude like I'm the messenger and the Holy Spirit is working on the other side. Right? You know, if you think that, yes, we can read the Bible, we need to get better, we need to get our, there's other, we need to read, we need to study. Paul says, told Timothy, study to show yourself approved, workman, rightly dividing the word of truth. But there's only so far with that. We've got to rely on the Holy Spirit. And when we step out and do things, we speak the word, we do these things, we're believing that the Holy Spirit is showing up. And Jesus said that he would. Because again, we believe the word and we believe that God told the truth and Jesus told the truth. And the Holy Spirit is going to do what Jesus told us he's going to do. When he comes, he will convict the world of its sin. You know how many times I've witnessed to people and I've done things over the years, or I've baptized the Holy Spirit and I present the word and the Holy Spirit just shows up and helps? Because if we look at Genesis chapter 1, and we see before God was recreating the world, and it says there that the Holy Spirit was hovering above the face of the water, right? What was the Holy Spirit doing? He's waiting for the word. So when the word was spoken, he engaged with it. It's the same thing here. Jesus is saying, guess what? When you show up, the Holy Spirit will convict the world of its sin. If you think you and I are going to save the world, we're not. We're messengers. It's God's work. I don't know how born again. I don't understand the whole semantics of being born again, right? 2 Corinthians 5:17. are born again, behold, you know, we're a new creature. Behold, all things pass away, become all things become new. I don't understand how that happens. I mean, I just read the scripture and I'm like, okay, God, I mean, it's got to happen somewhere, right? I'm still as ugly as I was yesterday. I mean, it's like nothing changed on the outside, right? But something changed on the inside, and I believe it, and I sense it. But I don't know how that all the mechanics of that happen, right? I just don't understand all that stuff. Maybe you're more spiritual than I am, but I don't understand all that stuff. I don't understand baptism of the Holy Spirit. I just know the Holy Spirit comes upon us when we're born again, but I don't understand all that stuff. I just know what the Word tells us. See, that's God's job. If we do our job, which is endure until the end, keep hanging in there, be obedient, run with Him. We're going to have good days. We're going to have these things. Now, I'm not saying everybody's going to, you know, we're all going to burst in flames and die and, you know, have martyr deaths. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, in life, when pressure comes, don't give up. Don't give up. Endure until the end. And especially when people are born again or they're, you know, they're just first born again. I remember a while back we had a gal. She got born again and she was living with a boyfriend, all these other things. And I said, okay, you know, I'm telling you right now, you're born again. I'm telling you right now, first of all, your boyfriend's going to come back. I told her, your old friend's going to come back, girlfriend's going to come back. And what happened the next week? Everything happened just like what I said, right? Because the devil is going to try to pull you back into that. And Mark chapter 4, steal that seed, right? That word that just came. You got to battle for it. You got to fight for it. And when you've been walking longer with God, it's easier to do. But baby Christians, situation come back. Well, I'm feeling lonely. Well, I need a drink. Oh, I needed this. I needed this. And I needed this. And the war is on. And we're going to do it until the end or not. But some people do fall back and they repent and they move on. But we are not going to let distractions ruin us. We're not going to let circumstances ruin us. We're not going to let situations dictate our faith and bully us. And sometimes it's just good to just sit back. I remember Brother Hagin just talking about, he'd just say, no, Mr. Devil, shut your mouth. He just talked to the enemy, right? We talk to the Lord. Why can't we tell the devil to take a flying leap? And one thing I always do too, when the devil comes along and is telling me things or try to do things, I always like to remind him of the future. You know what, devil? I love that scripture that you're in Revelation where you're thrown into the pit for 1,000 years. And then afterwards, you're going to be in the lake of fire for eternity. Let's talk about that. I want to talk about that subject right now, devil. And then he's gone. It's like crickets. You want to play that game of condemnation? Well, let's talk about your future. Let's talk about you. Let's talk about how you don't have the same opportunity I do. You're going to go to hell. You're going to be in the lake of fire. And I'm not going to be. So, yeah. And by the way, I'm going to judge you and angels at the end, Revelation says. So I'm going to have a good time. We're going to have a good time judging you for coming against us as believers because we are going to be joint heirs with Christ. And so it's a good thing. So we can look at the Bible and say, you know what? This is a good day. You know what? Things didn't happen, but you know what? I got salvation. I got the Holy Spirit. And sure is a whole lot better than being depressed and going to hell and my life an absolute total disaster. We got Jesus, we got everything. I'm telling you what right now. We have so much. We have peace. We've got the fruits of the Spirit. In Galatians, we got the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Father, we thank you tonight, Jesus. Hallelujah. That we are more than conquerors tonight. And that when the enemy comes against us, Lord Jesus, that we don't have to take things personal, but Lord, we rest in you. And that there is a way out tonight in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He always gives us a way out. Lord, we thank you tonight, God, that no matter what's going on, we're going to continue to stay the course tonight. Father, those things that whatever we're dealing with, that we know that we have the victory in Jesus' name. We endure until the end and continue to put one foot in front of the other and believe you, Lord God. We thank you that we're going to have the victory and we're going to have another battle and another battle and another battle, and we're going to win everyone in the name of Jesus. And we thank you in your name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, have a great week, everybody. And we'll see all the men tomorrow at 9 a.m.